Today on the Dark Side, the Supreme Court denies to consider reinstating Bill Cosby's sexual assault conviction. Secrets of Playboy recounts horrific stories about Hugh Hefner's alleged A-list power predators. And Matthew Coleman, the dad who allegedly killed his kids over QAnon theories, deteriorated rapidly, according to a friend. Those stories and more today on the Dark Side of.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of.
Hey, it is. Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our episodes. Brand new ones every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday of the week. It's Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Well, I think you need to put, I need you to watch that show, the What's Up with Pam, or The Thing About Pam, or What's the Matter with Pam.
Yeah, The Thing About Pam.
The Thing About Pam.
Yeah.
Because I need somebody to talk about it with.
I am going to watch. I'm going to start watching it this week because I just finished Joe and Carol.
Because the podcast, I thought was really good. Mm-hmm. You know, because Dateline really does lend itself to any episode. You could just listen to the audio.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like always been sort of podcast form.
It's me and Harp's road trip favorites.
So what are you guys going to listen to? Because aren't you taking a little road trip?
We're thinking about it. So probably Dateline. Whatever episodes we find. There's a playlist on Spotify that somebody created. It's called Here's Keith Morrison. And it's somebody that's curated just all the Keith Morrison episodes of Dateline. It's wonderful.
Oh, my God. What is it again?
It's a playlist called Here's Keith Morrison. And it's on Spotify. Okay, and it's just Keith's episodes. That's all it is. And you can, because I mean, the other ones are great, but sometimes you just want to hear Keith Morrison do the Dateline episode. So it's, I just go to that sometimes. And it's hard to sometimes know which ones you've listened to, but there's a lot of them.
There's just something about his delivery. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, because it is a little odd. Mm-hmm. But I really like him.
It's a little over the top. It's storytelling that nobody else really tries to do, I guess, dramatic. Nobody can really pull off dramatic storytelling kind of like he does, where it's a little bit old school, where you don't hear people kind of do it that way anymore, but he does it so well. And if others try and get a spooky kind of delivery on things, it's not quite the same. Especially with the other, reporters on the show. The other ones just talk normal. And it's like, hey, we didn't know that they chopped off his head. So we decided to go ask the coroner's office if there were some, heads in the mailbox. Sure enough, and there was.
Keith Morrison finds a way to even say that.
That way he'd be like, the heads, where were they? No one could find them. We found them in the mailbox right next to that Amway shipment that someone was so excited to become a new member of. Little did they know, it's an MLM. Or is it? That's how he would add on weird shit. And it's always wonderful. But
I got to follow that because I really do like him. So the thing about Pam, like, he narrates this movie based on the podcast, which is cool. I was surprised that his voice was in it.
Yeah.
So that was cool. So it comes across as kind of a movie, like a Fargo sort of dark comedy / Dateline episode / theatrical release, since Renee Zellweger's in it. It's just like, I'm not sure what this is. And I don't even know what category it falls into. So I need to have a discussion about it.
Everything's just kind of, you can do anything now. There's no rules. It's just whatever. Just put it out there. It's different. Cool.
The whole world is like that.
Yeah. It's like, well.
No rules. Do whatever you want. Believe whatever you want.
I didn't know we did shows like that. Okay. That's just how we do it. No. Yeah. No, it's funny because if I listen to a lot of Dateline, then the voice in my head, my conscience, It starts to sound like Keith Morrison. So if I remember, after we were driving to Florida last summer when we did a Disney trip, we listened 12 hours of Dateline and get parked at the hotel. And it's like, oh, look, looks like an unassuming hotel. Many families walking in and out the doors. Oh, look, someone even has some Mickey ears. What do they have to do to get those Mickey ears? That's the question. And it's like, it's really kind of weird and uncomfortable because it's just like, we're in the magical place on earth. Or are we? You know, like that's kind of how we, Dad, the Haunted Mansion, is that your favorite ride? It is. And there's a reason for it. What is it, Dad? We'll find out after the break.
That's funny.
And then I break in because it's always Lester Holt that goes to the break. And then suddenly I'm like, coming up on Your Life.
And let's be real. They don't need Lester Holt to do that.
No. You can tell Lester Holt cuts the intro. And then
gets paid way too much money.
And then it's the pasted coming up on Dateline. And then there's several pieces to that are recorded at one place. At one time, and they just keep reusing those pieces because sometimes his candor is a little bit off from what the read is on the next sentence. And it's like, at this point, you're NBC, just have him read the next sentence so it doesn't sound like you cut and paste it.
Or just go back to the program. You don't need anybody to tell you what you're getting ready to see because you've been watching it.
Personally, I like it better when who's ever doing the story is doing the intro and the headlines. I like that better than Lester Holt doing it. Feels too jolty different when Lester's doing it. And I like Lester Holt a lot. I just don't like the way they place him on the show. I don't think it makes a lot of sense.
Right.
I think it's strictly for NBC to go, look, we have Lester Holt and you don't. That's pretty much it. It's like, cool. But, that's how they work. Let's go to our first story of the day. Supreme Court declines to consider reinstating Bill Cosby's sexual assault conviction. The Supreme Court determined Monday it would not consider reinstating Bill Cosby's sexual assault conviction, dealing a blow to prosecutors who hoped to put the accused sex offender back in prison. Last June, Cosby was released from prison early when the Pennsylvania Supreme Court made the controversial decision to vacate his conviction. The actor and comedian was sentenced to 3 to 10 years in prison in 2018 for sexually assaulting former Temple University employee in his mansion in 2004, one of many sex crimes he's been accused of committing during his decades-long career. The Pennsylvania court's 2021 ruling had nothing to do with guilt or innocence. Northeastern University professor of law and criminal justice Daniel Muweed previously told People, it's really more of a reaction to what I would consider a prosecutorial misstep. In 2005, Montgomery County District Attorney Bruce Castor said that Cosby would not face criminal prosecution in former Temple employee Andrea Konstad's case, with the understanding that he would not be prosecuted. Cosby admitted in deposition in Konstad's civil suit against Cosby, which later settled, to giving quaaludes to women with whom he wanted to have sex. He fucking said it. But because there was this agreement that we're not going to go after you, you can say crazy shit, but it's okay. But Castor's successor, Kevin Steele, didn't honor the former DA's agreement with Cosby. Years later, he brought criminal charges against Cosby, using his private confession against him in court. That confession helped pave the path to conviction, raising questions about the constitutionality of Steele's actions. In overturning Cosby's conviction, the Pennsylvania court concluded that Steele's disregard for his predecessor's agreement with Cosby was unconstitutional, and Cosby should never have been tried for that crime. News that an admitted sex offender was freed from prison concerned sexual assault survivors who worried that Cosby's release would have negative repercussions for future sexual assault cases. Konstad reacted to the 2021 ruling in a shared statement with her attorney, saying today's majority decision regarding Bill Cosby is not only disappointing, but of concern in that it may discourage those who seek justice for sexual assault in the criminal justice system for reporting or participating in the prosecution of the assailant, or may force a victim to choose between filing either a criminal or civil action. It was one of these concerns that prosecutors hoped the U.S. Supreme Court would step in and reinstate Cosby's conviction, a hope cut short this week when the justices declined to review the case, thus letting last year's ruling stand. In the statement shared with People Monday, Cosby spokeswoman Andrew Wyatt expressed sincere gratitude for the Supreme Court for following the rules of the law. Mr. Cosby's constitutional rights were a reprehensible bait and switch by Kevin Steele, Judge Steve T. O'Neill, and their cohorts, Wyatt wrote. This is truly a victory for Mr. Cosby. I don't know why I'm talking like this, but it shows that cheating will never get you far in life. I have no idea how this guy sounds. In life, and the corruption that lies within Montgomery County's district attorney's office has been brought to the center stage of the world. Brian Perry, the attorney for the 84-year-old celebrity, told People in a statement that Cosby's trial should never have been allowed in an American courtroom. The man served 3 years in a state penitentiary in a case where highest court in Pennsylvania and now the United States empathetically decided was unjust, Perry wrote. Kevin Steele, the Montgomery County District Attorney, campaigned for the job to promise to change Mr. Cosby despite the fact that the prosecutor made an agreement not to prosecute, and Mr. Cosby relied on that agreement to his detriment. They don't like commas. Constand and her legal team still aren't sure, calling the outcome unfortunate. Not only does the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's decision stand to bind other courts based simply on an early press release by a prosecutor announcing a declination. I don't know what a declination, maybe this is a, I don't know, declination? That's what it says, of a prosecution at the time before evidence to proceed is developed and vetted. The statement reads, but it assures, or assumes rather, there was a valid agreement not to prosecute, which was vigorously disputed in the habeas proceedings and determined by a trial judge to not exist. So I feel like it's almost unconstitutional in the first part that you can admit to a crime that you did and then not be prosecuted for it because somebody is going after you civilly, even though it's a fucking crime.
Yeah, and by the Supreme Court doing what they did, you don't even know their reasoning. You know, why they didn't look into it. But if someone was legitimately given a pass, if you tell us everything, you won't be prosecuted. And if that was a valid offer and that was the agreement they made, and it obviously was.
I don't understand.
It just seems shady to me.
I always thought there was a very stark difference between a civil court and a criminal court. And I don't I'm not the law expert by any means, but clearly there is some way where in a civil proceeding, what you agree to and shit there can then be moved over to criminal and applied like that, like a get out of jail free card. From a civil suit.
Well, I don't know. Because, I mean, a civil suit is still a, you know, it's a court proceeding.
I just thought they were kind of different leagues.
Know, those awards and those verdicts hold up. Just, I mean, it's.
Well, it's like OJ, though, too. It's like, okay, so he was found innocent and criminal. He was found guilty and civil. I guess if you can be found then guilty over there, then why can't they go back and retry?
They can't go back and retry.
Jeopardy.
Once you're tried, boom, and you're found not guilty, you can never be tried again.
Well, then if you're tried,
so that's why the civil action is taken because you can be tried civilly because you're not being tried again criminally. So a civil trial, you will never end up in jail or prison. So they're different proceedings, but they're both legally binding.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
It's fucked up. Yeah, for real. And, you know, what I don't get is how, but it happens all the time. Like people are given immunity for this or that or for whatever, and they committed some crime, and it's like, you know, admit to it, fess up, and we won't charge you because we're going after this guy.
Mm-hmm.
That shit happens all the time. And usually when it does, it's like, okay, the little guy got off, but they got the big guy.
Yeah.
You know, but in this case, the deal, they made a deal with the devil, kind of, you know? And it's like, you tell us everything that happens and you never are found guilty at all? I don't, you know what I mean? It's just weird.
Yeah. I mean, I understand this is, I understand the procedures and what they're saying and how they follow the law. I get it, but it's fucked up. Like, that's where, like, okay, that should be adjusted. This is one where we need to go back and say, okay, I get, yeah, okay, couldn't apply it here, but let's do something so that can't ever be applied again.
There's just so many things about it that are weird.
Yeah.
So did the civil case go first and then the criminal case with Cosby?
Yes.
So that's kind of backwards. So they probably didn't think there would ever be a criminal case.
I believe so because there was a settlement made, and then that's the assumption with the settlement. No one's ever going to speak about it. So there would be no criminal case.
But
people spoke.
Yeah. And then the guy who admits to giving women quaaludes and having sex with them because he feels like it.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like my thing. That's what I do. I like to rape women after they're passed out.
Let's hope nobody grabs that little snippet and just takes it out of context. Carol's new ringtone. Oh my God, in a theater, suddenly that starts playing. Like, what the hell? And it's repeating over answer your phone.
My friends are all like, Carol, is that you? And I'm like, no, that's not me. What the heck? That's not me. Yeah. I don't know who that is trying to sound like me.
Turn your ringer off. It keeps repeating itself.
I don't know what's going on.
You're triggering people in the theater. God.
Everybody's staring at you.
So the ultimately worst ringtone one could have. Anyway, Cosby continues in the conversation here as we go to the secretive Playboy, recounting horrific stories about Hugh Hefner's alleged A-list power predators. Have you been watching this?
I can't, you know, because we discussed that.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
About the dogs, and I just can't bring myself to watch it.
Well,
now.
Skip the dog episode. Just skip over the dogs.
Well, if you watch the entire thing and you tell me that's the only episode that's in.
As far as I know, it's like, I don't know, it's episode like 4 or 5. I can look back and find out where the dog part is and then just, you know, just skip.
I mean.
And trust me that I'm actually giving you, like, the right thing and not telling you just go right to the dog part.
Well, here's the thing. I know you very well.
Uh-huh.
And that is definitely something you would do. But. Yeah, the other thing about that is that we did an episode on it, so really I've heard all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't see it.
Yeah, you really have. You've probably heard more in that than was actually on the show. So here's the article. This one's from People, and it's kind of recounting some of the more recent episodes here of the show. Hugh Hefner was obsessed with fame, according to his ex-girlfriend, Holly Madison. And in Secret to Playboy's 8th episode, the story from People, Predator's Ball, members of the mogul's inner circle revealed how he courted famous friends, including Bill Cosby, Roman Polanski, and NFL player Jim Brown, only to wield his knowledge of their sexual exploits against them. But while the knowledge of alleged sexual violence by Hefner's pals seemed only a passing shadow over the conscience of these men who frequented the Playboy Mansion, the episode also explored once again how Playboy's culture of sexual objectification irrevocably scarred countless women who were victimized by Hefner's circle of power predators. Women at the Playboy Mansion in Los Angeles were just being used, said Sandra Theodore, Hefner's girlfriend from 76 to 81. Hefner and his friends liquored him up, gave him drugs, and they ended up in the jacuzzi, and it was a free-for-all. PJ Mastin, the Playboy employee from 72 to 82, and regular mansion guests agreed celebrities and VIPs that were at the LA mansion would definitely drug and sexually assault young women. March of 1984, Playmate Donna Spear added, "What predator is not going to the Playboy mansion? It's locked, it's secure, and the cookies are in the jar. And it's okay, no one judges." A statement at the end of each episode of The Secrets of Playboy reads, "This series contains allegations of wrongdoing over decades by Hugh Hefner and others associated with him. The vast majority of allegations have not been the subject of criminal investigations or charges, and they do not constitute proof of guilt." Bill Cosby. This is this part of the show. At the mansion, it was the Wild West back then, said Jim Ellis, Hefner's bodyguard from 80 to 81. There was rampant sexual exploitation. Bill Cosby was up there 3 to 4 times a week. he wasn't there to eat lunch, said Mastin. I heard many stories about Bill Cosby from the 60s all the way up to 2008. Ellis agreed, saying everybody that worked at the mansion knew that he was basically a predator. This week's Secrets of Playboy features stories of sexual exploitation by Cosby, now 84, regarding six separate women, three of whom shared their own stories on camera. The stories run the gamut of severity, and it should be noted that Cosby has faced sexual assault allegations for decades from scores of women. He was released from prison in January of 2021 after a 2018 sexual assault conviction was overturned. That decision was upheld by the Supreme Court just on last week on Monday. Playboy's photographer Susie Randall recalled sitting next to the comic at one of Hefner's weekly movie nights. I didn't know who Bill Cosby was, she said, till he put his hands down my knickers. Spears said she knew Cosby. She said she knew Cosby before her time as a centerfold. Someone had taken my headshot and given it to Bill Cosby. And I fly off and I meet him, and I end up in this underage, what I thought was a relationship, and I'm a minor. So this relationship goes on for maybe a year and a half or so. I'm not even 16, or I may have just turned 16. I didn't even drive yet. I'm a baby. She said that how this all ends is I end up in a drug and alcohol facility in 1982. I remember Cosby calling me on the payphone and saying to me, you know, you're not much fun when you're not drunk. Mastin, who said she had a casual friendship with Cosby for 6 years during her time with Playboy, also mentioned a teen named Judith Huth. Cosby had a carte blanche. He brought her up to the mansion. She had cocktails. He drugged her. She was sexually assaulted at 15 years old. Mastin additionally referenced Chloe Goines, who claimed Cosby sexually assaulted her at the Playboy Mansion in 08. Did Hef know? Asked Theodore. I think he did. How could anything be slipped under anyone's nose in that house? Cameras were everywhere. He had to know. But Cosby was his go-to celebrity at the jazz festival, at the tennis tournaments, and because of that, he was allowing the women to be used. Perhaps the most harrowing was Mastin's account of how Cosby allegedly drugged and raped her, an account with distinct similarities to those of the many women who've come forward against the Cosby star. The alleged assault happened in 1979 in Chicago when Cosby was in town, when he invited Mastin to dinner. She said, I didn't think anything of it because I knew this person. She met him in his penthouse suite. He offered her a drink. I said, I'll take Grand Marnier. Gave her the glass, took two sips, and that's the last thing I remember until 4 o'clock the next morning, she said. I woke up in bed naked and I looked to my left, and there he was, naked, sleeping next to me, and I was in a panic, she continued. And I slithered out of bed to try to collect my clothes that were all over the floor, and I had blood coming down my leg because he sodomized me. It was a lot of blood, dripped all the way to the lobby of the hotel. And after recounting her assault, she began to weep. Mastin was at work the next day when she said Cosby called to ask, why did you leave? I hung up the phone and I was in complete and total shock, she recalled. That next day, I called my boss and I told her that he raped me and drugged me. And her reply was, that's Hefner's best friend. I suggest you shut your mouth if you want to keep your job. Even as she rebuffed multiple invitations by Cosby for a follow-up date, Mastin said the star sent her 4-foot ficus tree with a card that read, stay healthy mentally, stay in charge of yourself. She was shaken and felt powerless. I couldn't go to Hefner because there were a lot of very strange things happening up at the mansion. How am I going to go to him? Who's going to listen to me? I knew nothing would have changed. I know he wouldn't have been held accountable. He was Bill Cosby. He was going to buy NBC Studios. Who's going to listen to me? How do I prove it? I had no avenue to go down. Mastin said she started cutting herself and eventually attempted to commit suicide several times, once ending up in the hospital for 17 days. We had a sisterhood of victims of Cosby, she said. A statement at the end of the episode of Secrets of Playboy reads, Bill Cosby has stated that none of the allegations about him in the series have been substantiated by any legal process and that they are unsupported by any factual basis. Cosby's representative did not immediately respond to people's request for comment on the allegations that were contained in that episode. So there you go.
Yeah.
So this is like during the years of like the Fat Albert. This is the years of Picture Puzzle. and all of the kids shows.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's like they're not even people.
Yeah.
It's like, or how do you disassociate? Like, how could you drug someone and rape them? And you know you did that. But it's just what you do. And for some reason, you're entitled to that. I don't know. But then to turn around, call him the next day and be like, why did you leave? What?
How are you not as a human being
dating.
Going and like, it's not like when Me Too started, suddenly men were like, oh, we shouldn't do those things. Most of us already were not doing those things. Most of us were like, that's fucked up. You don't do that. And you don't necessarily need a movement to tell you this is fucked up. But, you know, I think it's good that it has happened and these predators are being called out. But most guys were not like this.
I would argue a little bit on that. I think for a long time, in part because I'm older than you.
But, sure. Okay.
Like women were just treated differently, you know, and I think it was kind of quite normal.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying every guy was like that, but it wasn't scandalous.
Yeah.
If one guy, you know, oh, she got really drunk and he did her. I mean, you know, nobody would go, did you ask her? If none of his buddies were like, nobody cared.
Yeah.
They'd be like, how was it? So I think there's just been a culture for a long time.
I hear you.
That was okay.
Yeah.
Now, I think there's a big problem on college campuses across the country. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, as a woman, because I see things differently. Even I've seen it in industries, radio record industries, and where women are treated very differently. And it's upsetting. And I think it's getting better. I hope it is. Mm-hmm. Is it? I don't know. But especially if you go back to the 70s and that whole Hugh Hefner era, then you add on the fact that this guy is uber rich.
Yeah.
This guy is controlling something a lot of women would like to be part of, you know, they would like to be in Playboy. They would like to hang out with rich people. That doesn't mean you want to get raped.
Sure.
You know,
not at all. No.
Someone like him, I'm sure in his circles, it was okay. It's like, oh, all these women throw themselves at me. And I will say a lot of women do that.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess it's just like, it's just a level of humanity that I think either you have or you don't have, you know, where it's like, even, you know, whatever the social constructs and norms are of the time, I think either you kind of have the ability, like, I don't care, I'm just going to do this, you know, or you don't. And I don't know. I mean, it obviously, if you're the type of person who'd be able to do that and social norms are like, do whatever the fuck you want. Yeah, I guess, you know, it certainly would have happened a lot more frequently. It's just disturbing that I think that it just goes back to it being Bill Cosby more than anything else. It's because you think of Bill Cosby, then you think of all like the nice people and the good people that you've known in your life. And you go, oh, shit, like if fucking Bill Cosby could be like, what about all these other people? It fucks with your judgment.
You know, and what's crazy is like until, I don't know, kind of relatively recently, it wasn't even a crime for a man to rape his wife. That wasn't even a crime.
That's true.
You know, it was like basically the wife is his property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of how it is. And so you're married. You can't rape your wife. No, you really can rape your wife.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's fucked up. No, you're exactly right. Yeah.
So I don't know. But when you look back at that whole era with Hugh Hefner and all that, you know.
Yeah.
I think a lot of men felt entitled.
Without a doubt.
Even what's that disgusting director?
Roman Polanski?
Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, look what he was doing to women. Like, you want to be in my movie?
He was doing that shit up until a couple of years ago. Like,
then you watch that whole Mia Farrow and Woody Allen documentary. It's like, oh, that's really gross.
I never liked Woody Allen really to begin with. I just always thought it was kind of, I mean, I just never got into his stuff. But that just made me go.
I can't sit through one of the movies. But it's like, they're creepy AF too when you watch them now. It's like,
they're married.
My God.
And they're, well, what do you say to them though? Because like now it's like they've been married for a long time and they're still together. I mean, what? It was fucking wrong and weird the way that they got together, but they stayed together. I don't know what that says. I mean,
but like in his movies, he'd always cast himself as like,
sure,
you know, the kind of awkward guy that the beautiful woman falls in love with, despite the fact that she's 17 years old,
yeah.
Mariel Hemingway. And it's like, that's okay to cast a 17-year-old to be your love interest? Like, I think that's really creepy.
Now, when you're Woody Allen, you can do anything, you know? Fucked up. It's like with anything, as generations move on and we, I guess, I don't know. I hate to say the word, like, we're becoming more, like, civilized or smart, because I don't think we are. You know, you start to look back and go, I can't believe that that was the norm. I guess I hope that we continue to do that in a responsible way, where we're not eradicating things that really aren't bad. And we actually do more focus on things that truly are bad, and fix it. But we're in fucking crazy town right now. So.
Yeah. Cause now like this guy could be beautiful and blue and nice day. And then somebody's going to be like, no, that's fake.
Yeah.
That is not really what's happening today.
Exactly. Or the sun can be like beautiful and gray, and all of a sudden you're like, what the hell is that glowing cloud that's coming over here? Then you get the alert on your phone. Oh, it's the residences. It's the remnants of Chernobyl. That's all. Like, why are the birds falling from the sky?
It's nuclear. I get it now.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, you can. I mean, it's fucking horrible, and I'm not trying to make light of anything, but I mean, I guess at some point, sometimes all you can do is go, what the fuck? And yeah, fucking insanity going on. Let's continue on. Matthew Coleman, the dad who allegedly killed kids over QAnon theories, deteriorated rapidly, according to his friend. In the months before Matthew Coleman was arrested for allegedly killing his children, the father of two spent an increasing amount of time online looking at conspiracy theory websites and message boards. I think we knew that. But even those closest to Coleman had no inkling of his actions could turn violent. He started believing crazy things that he saw on the internet. One of Coleman's childhood friends, who was in touch with him a week before the killings, tells People. But nothing seemed violent. He just seemed to be buying a lot of stuff that didn't make a lot of sense. Started off slowly, but in the end, he deteriorated rapidly. The friend said, but he never once said anything to make you think he'd kill his own kids. That's another level. On August 7th, Coleman and his wife, Abby, 35, were packing for a family trip. Authorities allege that Coleman abruptly put his two kids, Kalo, 2, and Roxy, 10 months, into his van and drove away from their Santa Barbara, California home. Abby called police out of concern. According to the FBI's report, she told authorities that she and her husband had not been arguing and that there was no marital strife. She told cops she did not believe that the children were in any danger, and she thought Coleman might or would eventually return home with the kids. The police say Coleman didn't return and said he drove the children into Mexico. 2 days later, authorities allege he took the kids to the ranch where he killed them with a spearfishing gun and returned to his hotel a few hours later. He was arrested when he attempted to cross the border back into the United States. According to the FBI criminal complaint obtained by People last August, Coleman allegedly told police he was motivated by the QAnon conspiracy theory, which falsely claims President Donald Trump had secretly been battling a cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles in the highest levels of political power and influence. But a newly released affidavit further details Coleman's conspiratorial beliefs. He allegedly told agents that while he was in Mexico, he had laid in bed seeing all the pieces being decoded like the Matrix, and that he was Neo. He said he had visions and signs revealed that his wife, A.C., was possessed by serpent DNA. He had passed it on to the children that all things were pointing to the idea that his children have corrupted DNA that will spread if something is not done about it, according to the affidavit. Latest affidavit has confused those who knew him. Sounds crazy, Coleman's childhood friend said. He never said anything about the serpent DNA to me, and I assume he never said anything about it to Abby. We knew he was in turmoil figuring things out, but no one, especially not Abby, thought he'd get violent. I guess people really underestimate people is kind of my opinion on this. Coleman's friends and his wife and loved ones truly believe the children's well-being was a top priority for Coleman. I want to make this perfectly clear, the friend said. Abby loved those kids more than anything, and we all believe that Matthew did too. If anyone had ever had even one thought that he was violent or dangerous, we would have done everything to stop it. This came out of left field for all of us, and we have to live with that every day for the rest of our lives. I'm not trying to criticize this family for not, like, catching this, but at the same point, if you have a loved one that's doing a lot of crazy shit, maybe not violent, but still not right, like, crazy shit, like, they're believing crazy shit, that's a red flag. That's a red flag to go, no, I'm sorry, you're not going to take the kids over to the Dairy Queen today. We're all going to go together, and we'll get that. Yeah, with Blizzard, whatever. You want the QAnon Blizzard, that new one? Sure, we'll get that for you.
We'll get that, but keep in mind it has lizard blood in it.
Yes, and the lizard blood may... Oh, I don't want that then. Fuck the lizard blood. And that's where you take your children and you leave the premises, because someone who believes that shit, not safe. Not safe.
Don't you suppose, too, that, you know, maybe... I don't know. I'm trying to give them all a benefit of the doubt.
There's too much fucking benefit of the doubt going on.
I think that... I'm sure that... Once it happened, you look back on it and you're like, God, I had no idea. Like, I thought he was, you know, having some issues with reality, but he loved his kids. I don't know.
We're in a place where when you should have benefit of the doubt, people are not using it at all. They're jumping to extreme conclusions very quickly, and it can ruin people's lives when someone's like, oh, that's not true at all. And then we also, in the same point, should be jumping to conclusions when, you know, he's looking up lizard blood shit and starting to say these sort of strange things that he's believing and, you know, ordering kind of weird survival shit online that maybe wasn't what he was doing in the past. It's not just the normal Amazon shipment of Starburst anymore. Like, why did you get all that? Like, you know, the lizard people or whatever the fuck he's saying.
I just don't get, like, I don't know. I gotta walk this line carefully, because there'd be people right now who are like, well, yeah, Hillary Clinton was a pedophile and in that pizza place. And the thing is that even if something's totally not true, you know, you can't convince people that's the case. But when shit sounds so unbelievable, is it really believable?
That just seems,
you know, a guy showed up at the pizza place to find where Hillary's raping these children, and there's no place there.
It doesn't exist. It's not real, kids.
That somebody really thought, like, they went there.
Is this a product of our very animalistic mind that we've, over the last 10, 20 years, have been bombarded with basically everything is breaking news, and every headline is more sensational than the next. And the only thing we pay attention to now is really extreme, crazy shit. And now our animalistic minds are like, it's just like it goes to that now. It goes to more extreme, crazy shit because we're hearing more about extreme, crazy shit. So suddenly the mind's like, when it's lost it, it's like extreme, crazy shit. I don't know. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
And, you know, it's like you read it. And I think there's this certain group of people that want, obviously, people to follow and believe this weird shit. So they're making it up and they're spreading the propaganda for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if it's a political reason...
QAnon is somebody that had a political agenda and discovered that you say a bunch of crazy shit, oh my God, people start believing it. It went out of control.
Let's see if they'll buy into this shit.
People
like,
want
some kind of game.
No, people want a reason and they want some sort of logical answer to horrible shit in life and answers to their own poor decisions. And that provided it. If you're like, oh shit, maybe this was a bad idea. Maybe those are bad ideas. But it's like you already dug in really deep. oh, well, maybe this isn't a bad idea. Maybe, oh my gosh, there's a reason to all this madness. There's a reason. And that kind of connected the dots of crazy when sometimes there is no way to connect the crazy dots. It's just fucking crazy. But that kind of solidified it for some people. So,
you know, because I'm all about believe what you want, but then yeah. I'm also like, you know, you can check facts.
I'm all up, yeah. Yeah.
You know, but, you know, because there was somebody, you know, once I was like, you know, check, go to Snopes or something.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a liberal leaning, blah, 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 blah.
That's like, the answer.
Okay, it doesn't matter.
If you don't agree with it, it's liberally. Like, no, it's just, it's not. But that's the answer. And then they can walk away and believe that that's the truth. It's just, yeah, I'm fine with anybody, you know, having opinions or whatnot, but you can't have your own set of facts. And that used to be just kind of the rule of life. You know, I guess if you want to believe something crazy, you can. And there is usually a handful that did, just not in this volume. Like, this is what the fuck happened here. It was not at this volume. There was always a handful. There'd be the ones like, oh, on the outskirts of town, you that guy that puts all those signs up everywhere. And it's like, oh, holy shit. There was those people. And you know, kind of knew. Like, oh, he's got 40 antennas on his car and 32 CB radios in there. I don't know, there's not 40 CB radios, but there's only 32. And then, like, you saw him coming a mile away. Now it's like, oh, it's Pam down the road. It's, it's just like, it's Jerry over there. And like, it's like, what the fuck? I don't know. I don't have the answers, but
I don't mean there are none because it just makes no sense.
All I can do is criticize the world. That's going to wrap up this episode of The Dark Side Of. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become a Dark Sider. Check out our Patreon page. Search Dark Side Of or go to darksidepod.com. Press subscribe if you download the podcast. You don't miss any episodes. New ones every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side Of.